So, as we go through this study tonight, I want you to understand, and we said this in the Revelation study numerous times, we need the Old Testament as well as the New Testament in the Word of God. And a lot of people will discount and say, well, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. But as we go through this study tonight, you're going to see the pattern that God gave Moses for the tabernacle is that pattern for salvation in the Christian life we live today. So, you're going to see a correlation as we go through all the parts of the tabernacle, we go through everything. You're going to understand that this tabernacle, again, this was God's, God's plan. He wanted to be with his people. He wanted to live with his people. Well, this is where he dwelled, out in the wilderness. And again, remember in a Revelation study, Solomon's temple was built. That was where God's permanent dwelling place was in the Old Testament. So today, God not only wants to dwell with his people, but he wants to dwell within his people. That was the plan all along. Ever since the beginning, that was God's plan. He wanted to be and live with his people. Okay? Before we go to the next slide, we've already discussed part of this because, who was it? Brother Evan already filled in his first blank. But how many chapters in the Bible were for creation, or set aside for creation, or gave the creation account? Two. Now, how many were set aside for the pattern of the tabernacle, how we should worship and everything? How many do you think there were? How many chapters in the Bible? How many?
50.
Say it again.
50.
50. All right? Now, John. John 5 and 39 says that search the scriptures. That's the whole Bible. Search the scriptures, for they are which testify of me. But what are the scriptures again? The Old Testament is that point in time when there was no New Testament. But when Christ said that testify of me, well, what is that? It testified of Christ. All through the Old Testament, you see Christ in all of this. Even though he may not be named out, you see Christ all through the Old Testament. So the Old Testament reveals Christ, Christianity, salvation, and the church. And they are modeled or represented by Old Testament examples, or what we would call types.
Okay, so Hebrews 9 and 24. The holy places made with hands, so this is man-made, are figures of the true. So I want you to look down here at these key words. You'll see these key words frequently in the Old Testament. You'll see figures, types, a shadow, examples, models, in samples, patterns. These are all going to show you what the true is. That's when in the New Testament, when God begins to reveal his full plan for dwelling within us, these are just a figure of it. So every single part of this is really important. Don't think any of it's not. We're going to talk about the curtains. We're going to talk about the sockets. We're going to talk about the pieces that hold the curtains together, the furniture inside. So every single one of this is very important. It's because it represents New Testament salvation. God was very particular about the details. He was particular about how they were made, how they were arranged, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. The arrangement of it was all very important to God because they all meant something. So 1 Corinthians 10 and 6 says, these things, so that's talking about the Exodus. What do I mean when I say the Exodus? Over here?
Out of Egypt.
So Israel coming out of Egypt, being delivered out of Egypt, being led by Moses. So that's called the Exodus. So these things, the Exodus and Israel's journeyings, were our examples. So we're going to learn a spiritual concept from these literal happenings.
So Hebrews 8 and 5. calls out or says that the example or shadow of heavenly things. Again, we don't have time to go through all the scriptures tonight, so we're going to take excerpts or small portions of the scripture. And so again, Hebrews 8:5 says that these were examples and shadows of heavenly things. So what is a shadow? Think about my shadow. My shadow is right here. May not be able to see it. But does that give you a very clear picture of who I am? No, it's just an outline. It's just a form. And so, in the Old Testament, it was a shadow or an outline of what was going to be happening in the New Testament. And so, again, an example of a shadow was the tabernacle furnishings were shaped as a cross. And so as we get into this, you'll notice that you have the altar of sacrifice, the laver, you have the candlesticks, you have the brazen altar, you have the shewbread, and you have the Holy of Holies. All of these are shaped in what shape? And so what is that a type of? The cross that Christ died on, right?
It's a shadow of what's coming.
So it's a shadow of what is coming, all right? So throughout the Bible, again, all of them, you think about the New Testament, it points to Jesus Christ and what was going to happen in the New Testament and what God's plan was for us as far as New Testament believers. And so, again, notice on the handout, all right, page 2. Go to page 2 on the handout. That it shows the altar of incense closer to the veil. So the exact placement is not real clear. However, the cross is still outlined either way. Okay? So it's outlined either way.
So what we're saying is this might be actually a little bit like right here, but we still have the cross example either way.
Right.
So that was there's not clarity on that.
Okay, so if Moses changed the pattern, you know, that would have brought a lot of confusion later on. But anyway.
So, for instance, could we say, because this is getting to God. We're getting to God. We want to be in God's presence. All right? So this is the pathway through. And we will go through all of that. What if Moses said, you know, I'd like to have that lampstand here. I want them to see that when they first walk in. And I'll put that up here so we'll have the two altars beside each other. It would completely mess up what God was teaching that's coming in New Testament salvation.
So, just as an example, Sister Perseus, being that you have trouble, you don't have eyesight, how important is it that the furniture stays in one place at home?
Very important.
It's very important. Or how many people like to arrange their furniture at home and say, well, this don't look good, I'll arrange it. Well, Moses didn't have the option here to arrange the furniture. This was God's pattern. All right? This was God's pattern because there was a purpose, like Sister Sherry said, as for a path to get to Jesus Christ, to get to God.
We're going to talk about why in the world God made the tabernacle, what was his purpose, what was he trying to accomplish. And so we're going to go back to the beginning of time. This is some things that we've already covered in the past, but we'll refresh our memory. Before God made man, before God made the world, everything you see in the world, God had a plan. God made us creatures of choice. That makes us different than every other creature on this earth. We are creatures of choice. But he wanted to be in a relationship with us. He wants us to love him, but he doesn't want us to love him like the angels love him because they have no choice. He wants us to love him because we choose to. So by giving us a choice, then we see man sinned. We see that in the garden, the first man, he sinned. And there's this, when sin comes into the picture, there's separation. Because God is a holy God, there cannot be sin in his presence. And so man was separated from God. God's plan is to restore man. So this is what we're seeing happen. God wants him back in right standing. Do you remember? Who remembers the lesson on justification? We did a lesson in here some time back on justification. So justification is a legal declarations, kind of like the court system. And it means you are now declared to be in right standing because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And if you have accepted that, you've asked God to forgive you your sins, you've accepted that sacrifice, God declares you justified or in right standing. So God, this is a spiritual concept. And even though we're living in it today, sometimes we have a little trouble wrapping our head around it. Justification, sanctification, you're like, oh, what was it Sister Sherry told me that meant? So we are experiencing it and seeing other people experiencing it, and we're still kind of having a little trouble. So God said, I'm going to reveal this plan slowly to man. It's going to be hard for him to grasp exactly what I want to do. And so the Old Testament tabernacle, it's a literal picture of what God wants to do spiritually in our hearts. So we're going to look at this literal tabernacle. God's revealing, I want to dwell with you. So my presence will dwell here over the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to see what the plan of worship is so you can come in to the tabernacle. Sins be forgiven. You can come into the presence of God. When you see it in the physical or the literal, then when Jesus comes, it's going to help you better understand the spiritual. It's similar to a parable. Parables, the word parable actually gives you the thought of laying two things side by side. So many of the parables will start out and say, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, what do you think about when I say kingdom? King, castles, drawbridge, moat. Yeah, that's what I think of. So the kingdom of heaven, I'm like, that doesn't really fit with what I know a kingdom is. So then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went out to sow seed. Well, who he's talking to was a bunch of farmers and people that tilled the ground and had animals. And they're like, oh, yeah, I understand sowing ground. Oh, seed fell by the wayside. Yeah, same happened to me last year. The birds came and ate your seed. Yeah, we have that trouble. And so Jesus is telling this spiritual concept, but he's using a literal example. That's what we're doing with the tabernacle. It's a literal example to help us understand the spiritual concept of asking God to forgive our sins, accepting and having God live and dwell in this tabernacle. Also, the tabernacle in the law revealed man's sinful condition. Because you're not going to come to God and ask for forgiveness until you realize you're a sinner. And so the tabernacle and its practices, the things that are going to take place there in the tabernacle, will also help man to realize, I need a Savior. Because you're not going to look for a Savior if you don't think you need one. You're not going to be looking for salvation if you don't realize that you are a sinner.
And so Israel was God's chosen people. And what were they chosen to do? What were they chosen to do? We talked about this in Sunday school. We talked about this in some of our studies. Why did God put them? Remember, God gave them the promised land. They gave them the land. He gave them the land of Canaan. And why did he position them where they were? Sister Elise.
Because it was like a major trade route.
Okay, so I want you to think. You've got Israel here, right along the Mediterranean. You've got the whole African continent, Egypt down below. You've got Mesopotamia, which would have been like Iran, Iraq, all of them over there. Plus, you still had a route or a trade route going over into Eastern Europe. I want you to think about that God put them in a place where they could reveal God to the rest of the world. Anybody traveling through, they could point them to God. And so, the Israel of old was set apart and sanctified from all other nations. All right, as we go through the Bible, you read that, you know, they weren't to marry the land people in the land of Canaan. They weren't supposed to do many other things. They were supposed to be set apart, sanctified to the use of God. And so the Messiah would come from this nation. And Old Testament Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. So, the New Testament Israel. Who is the New Testament Israel? Speak up.
The church.
The church, we are. Those that are saved and living for the Lord, we are New Testament Israel. All right? That nation of Israel over there in the Middle East, all right? They've got to come through the same door that we have to come through. When the New Testament, when Christ came, Christ made a way for everybody to come. The literal Jew, the Gentile, whoever it might be, he made the way for us to be that New Testament Israel. Now, again, Old Testament Israel was a type or shadow of God's people or us Christians today, just to kind of reinforce what we were talking about. And they were examples of what we should do and not do. All right? Just like when we go out into the world, young people, we should be examples. We should be examples. This is how you live the Christian life. All right? But many times, old Israel got themselves into trouble. They got themselves into trouble. They started chasing after the idols of the land that they were living in. They started doing things that displeased God. Just like we do, you know, there's people, you know, sometimes we get into situations where we displease God. Well, thank God we can come back to Him, just like the Israel of old came back to Him, made things right, got back in right standing with God again. But God's people, Israel, literal Israel, went into Egypt because of famine. Remember this account? Again, this is before Joseph, or this was after Joseph was sold into slavery. So Israel, or Jacob's family, they went into Egypt because of famine, but they eventually became slaves. Let's think about this. They eventually became slaves. 10 generations were in bondage. What do you think about that? Basically 400 years, if I remember right. 400 years in bondage. 4 generations. And so, what is that an example of in the New Testament Israel today? Or in the New Testament, what would Egypt's bondage be a type of today?
Sin.
The bondage of sin. Very good. And so, God's people cried for deliverance. Just like the sinner, if he's going to make or if she's going to make it their way to God, they've got to go before God and cry for deliverance from their sins. And so God delivered them out of Pharaoh's hand. Again, an example of New Testament salvation. And Israel went into their desert journey because of unbelief. Who was in Sunday school this morning? How many years did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And so God established a covenant with His people, or a plan for worship. Where did Moses get that plan? Mount Sinai. When he went up on Mount Sinai, he got the Ten Commandments. He got that pattern. He got that plan for God's people to worship. Now, the people in their deliverance, the plans for worship, or the tabernacle, help us understand New Testament salvation, living for God.
Okay, so the tabernacle pattern, as we've already been established, was received on Mount Sinai. So the amplified verse here, Exodus 25 and 40, it says, "See to it," so God is talking to Moses, "that you copy exactly." God is a God of great detail. He's very particular. "Copy exactly the pattern shown to you in the mountain." And he also says in Exodus 25 and 8, "Make me," so that's God, "a sanctuary," or it would be another word, could be a tabernacle, "that I may dwell among them." So you probably saw that I put the definition for tabernacle back on our board a week or so ago. So the definition of tabernacle is a movable habitation. Clearly it was. It moved from place to place. But it's also a dwelling place. God desires to dwell with His people. So this is His first permanent, His first dwelling place. Not permanent, because it kept moving. It wasn't permanent until we get to the Solomon's temple. It was the dwelling place of God, where He could come down and be in the midst of His people. When we study the tabernacle, this is going to give a greater appreciation for God's desire to dwell with us. God, who we can't really even wrap our head around exactly how big he is and what he think about he accomplished in creating the entire universe, the world, us, the intricacies of the human body and how it all of this works together. But he looked at small human beings and said, I want to live with them. And then time I want to live within them. I want a really close relationship. Have you ever thought about when Jesus walked on this earth, how cool would it be to have been one of his disciples and like talk to him anytime and hear what he had to say and watch him and just hang out? That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But there were times when the disciples would be like, well, what happened to Jesus? Where'd he go? Wait, I don't know. We're out on the boat. Where's he at? We need his help. What do we have that's better than what the disciples had? We have him inside all the time. Jesus, what are you thinking about this? Jesus isn't having to take a nap. He's not sleeping in the boat because he's tired. We have something even greater than. That's what God wanted, not just to dwell with his people, but to dwell in his people. So as we study and we go through the tabernacle, what each piece means and how important it is, we're beginning to see this was super important to God because he wants relationship with us. And he's basically moving heaven and earth to have that relationship. It's going to help us have a greater appreciation for the plan of salvation. Sometimes we're like, yeah, you know, Easter comes around and Jesus died on the cross and that's great and I'm really thankful for it. And we have the Lord's Supper and we're like really thankful that you shed your blood and you gave your body. But can we appreciate it a little more? When we begin to look at the tabernacle and we begin to see Christ, who is woven all through the Bible, and he's woven throughout the tabernacle, we begin to have a greater thanksgiving and appreciation for salvation. And then we begin to understand this call to be holy. Now, if you recall, when we did our sanctification lesson, we talked about how most denominations do not teach that you can live free from sin. And so this is something that the Church of God is one of the few, there probably are a couple others, but one of the few that teaches that. So we're going to learn about what was his stress on holiness in those practices in the tabernacle.
Something that came to me, I don't know how many of you, this is, in a way, this is how I learned to write. You have these pieces of paper with white lines on them, and they had the example up here at the top. It was kind of like the outline, you might say, of an egg. And what they wanted you to do was they wanted you to trace it. That's how I learned how to write. That's how I learned how to, you know, learn my ABCs and write and how to write. How many people remembered how to do that or are doing that? So they still do that a lot, right? Well, what were they giving us? They were giving us the pattern. They wanted us to duplicate that pattern. So just like God gave the pattern, and then he wanted not only, he had that pattern, but he wanted Moses to make it exactly like the pattern. Just like this A right here, the teachers wanted us to make it exactly like the pattern. And so, as we move on, The Old Testament tabernacle, again, as we talk over again, that this is the first dwelling place, not permanent, but his first dwelling place because, again, as they journeyed through the wilderness, they had to take down the tabernacle, move it from one location to another. So, again, that's God's desire. It was God's desire for him to dwell with his people. John 1 and 14, out of the Amplified, it says, and the Word, well, who's the Word? Christ, became flesh. So he came to this earth by humble birth, became a human, he was incarnate, and he tabernacled. That's what John says, he tabernacled. Well, what does that mean? This fixed tent of flesh, he lived here with us for a while. Just like the Old Testament tabernacle, it was just God's dwelling place for a little while. Okay? God's dwelling place for a little while. For that little while, Jesus was among us. And so, Jesus lived among us for a time and he tabernacled with us. Now, the Old Testament tabernacle, again, say it over, it was temporary. Jesus was here for a short time. His time on earth was temporary. But God's desire to tabernacle or dwell within his people all the time, this was made possible by the sacrifice Christ made on the cross. And so 2 Corinthians 5:1, our earthly house of this tabernacle, our body is a tabernacle or the dwelling place for Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, ye are the temple. Paul's saying this, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and be their God, and they shall be my people. So not only, you know, I think about Adam. Christ came down to the garden and he walked through the garden. That's what the Bible tells us. He communed with Adam. Even though that again, it says in the Bible that no man has seen him and lived. But Christ, or God, did come down into the garden and he communed with Adam and Eve. Okay? But when, remember that time after their sin, he came down, he says, Adam, where are you? I was hiding because I was afraid. God says, why are you afraid? So the whole story comes out, right? God already knew. But anyway, but he wants to dwell within us. He wants to live within us. And so, we are designed to be the dwelling place of God. That's what we're here for.
I think when I was studying and I saw this scripture right here in the Amplified, I'm like, this is so cool. I did not even realize that word was in there. So I'm thinking about how God, this is his ultimate plan. He ultimately wants to dwell within us. But to just give that to somebody in the New Testament, no, sorry, in the Old Testament, the very beginning, if you explain to Adam and Eve, there's going to be a day when I want to live in your heart, that would be really hard for them to comprehend. So you see the gradual explanation. So God's like, you know what? I want to come and I want to dwell among you. I want you to make this tabernacle, and my presence will be denoted by this great big cloud that will come down over the tent there, and you'll know that I'm here. Okay, now, many, many hundreds of years later, we see God in the flesh comes down and lives among us. So God lived among them. Now we see Jesus in the flesh. He actually tabernacled. He fixed his tent of flesh and lived here a while. But this is not God's ultimate goal. God's still trying to teach us what he wants. And so you see how he's leading. And then as we come through toward the end of the New Testament, then we're seeing in Revelation 21:3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's how we're designed. We're created to have God. I like to say there's a God-shaped hole in every one of our hearts. And if you're trying to fill it with other stuff, it's not going to fit. Anybody ever had those little kid toys that has like the block, like the square and the rectangle and the round peg, and you ever tried to put the square in the round peg? Yeah, you're weighing it down and it's not working so well. That God-shaped hole in your heart can only be filled completely by God. So the tabernacle of God is with men because he wants to dwell in them and they shall be his people. So I thought that was really interesting.
Weird thought just kind of hit me. If I take and hold my arms out, how's the hand shaped? And where, figuratively, does God live? In our heart, right in the middle.
In the midst of them.
In the midst.
So the tabernacle was always in the middle, in the midst of the camp. This shows how God always wants to be in the middle of his people. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now the tabernacle being in the middle, and all the tents would face that, it meant all the eyes were on God, or on the tabernacle. Instead of on their neighbor, if your door faced the tabernacle, then you were to have your eyes on God. Everything in the camp revolved around God. We see it also always faced east. The tabernacle, the door, the gate, would always face east. representing people willing to walk in the light and face the light. Numbers here in the Amplified, Numbers 2 and 2, shows that, and it was very, very specific. You had exactly where your family or your tribe were to camp, and there would be four on each side. There were 12 tribes. I'm sorry, three on each side. There were 12 tribes, four major divisions, and so there would be three on each side. Now, you see that every camp had its own ensign or standard or banner. And you can see some of these here in the slide that we're showing there. That would show the people where to gather. You're like, oh, yeah, that one's... And right here we've got a few examples. This was Judah. That one's Ephraim. And there's Reuben. So when that standard or that banner went up, then you knew where to gather. So a further study of that is, we talk about how the standard needs to be lifted up. Well, it shows where the church of God is. When the standard of holiness, holy living, that you're not going to talk the way the world talks. You're going to have holy talk. You're going to have clean talk. You're going to be modestly dressed. You're not going to go to places that are inappropriate. So when the standard's lifted up, then people that are honest can see, where is the church of God? Where do I need to gather? And so that... all these lessons that are woven throughout, I think, are pretty fascinating.
And so as we finish up our study for tonight, we want to look up at the layout of the tabernacle. Again, if you look here on your second page of the handout, we find that the altar of incense is a little closer to the veil, but it still is in the shape of a cross. And so you have... again, the bronze altar, this would be the east. This is where they would come in. Here's the gate. And they would be working their way to God here in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant's at. So, the tabernacle had three distinct areas. So, the first area was the outer court. So, the outer court is out here. This is where you had the bronze altar. This was where the sacrifice was made. Then you have the bronze or the brass laver. This is where the priest washed. And there was, and we'll learn about that. There was a ritual that they went through to cleanse themselves before they went into the tabernacle. Then you have here the tabernacle proper. This is called the holy place. Again, you had the table of showbread. You had the lampstand. You had the altar of incense. Now, Hebrews 9 and 2 says, the first room, this is out of the Amplified, the first room, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. All right? This is called the sanctuary. Then, this third distinct area that God had in his pattern was called the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 9, 3 through 4 says, after the second veil, so this is where the second veil, first veil, second veil. So after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, which were the Ten Commandments. So inside the Ark of the Covenant had that pot of manna, the rod of Aaron, and also the Ten Commandments. All right?
Would you put the song on?
Yep, I can do that. So we want to finish up with a song tonight, and I want you to think about this song as it is being sung. You sing it numerous times. But I want you to think about, as we get into this tabernacle study, God did not, I mean, again, God had a plan. This was the plan. This was the pattern. God had a desire to dwell with his people. You see that in the Old Testament. Jesus came. He dwelt among man. But God wants to dwell today within his people. We are his sanctuary. We are his sanctuary. Those of us that are living for God, we're living a holy life, we're living free from sin, we are God's sanctuary. So, we want you to think about that as this song is being played.
So, we're looking at a literal sanctuary. The song is going to talk about a living sanctuary.
So, as we finish up our study tonight, think about that song. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. We're going to be tried. Just as Brother Decker preached this morning, we're going to be tried. However, God will give us the power. God will give us the power to live that holy life if that's what we want to do.